to bring the message of the word today, and there was some conversation going on in our text stream yesterday about what happens when somebody humbles themselves. God exalts them. So since he has humbled himself to bring us the word today, y'all get ready for some exaltation. Amen. Not only for Brother Damon, but we can be a part of that too. Amen.
Amen.
Take it, brother.
Amen. Good morning. Thank you, Father God.
Baria sikomana karia sokoba karia sokorbaria sa hekorbaria nokobana karia lokorbaria sikorbaria ikorbaria sakomana karia rororia si ikorbaria shat kudia makorbaria sekorbaria sa sakorbaria sokomana karia sokorbaria si ekorbaria shat komana karia sokorbaria se sekorbaria sa kudia se I have anointed you for such a time as this. I know you don't think you're anointed. Some of you wonder what anointing is, but I have called this church out before you came. This church had a destiny. You are part of that destiny. You are called to fulfill the call for this house. This house is going to transform not only the house, the city, but the nations will be transformed. It doesn't look like it, but when I have made a decision, when I have started something, I will complete it. It is not about you, but it is about you determining if you are going to walk the walk that I have chosen for this house. Are you going to set your heart and humble yourself under the leadership in the house? I have determined who is the leader. You determine if you are going to submit. I don't have time anymore for you to play game. It is the time for you to lay hold and to go forward. I don't care what the enemy is doing. I have made a decision. This house will go forward and do what I have called it to do. Over the years, it has been in preparation, and now is the time for you to step out and to hear me and to move in the way I have called you to move. Hear me and hear me well. You will either line up or you will not be a part. As much as I love you, I will not tolerate rebellion. The souls that need what I have prepared you to bring are too great. It is too necessary. I will not allow those who have been waiting for you to be lost. Hear me. Make up your mind. Where are you going? Who are you going to follow? For today is a day for you to hear and obey. Hear and obey.
Your will, plan, and purpose be done, mighty God. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Father God, we just thank you for this day. Father, we just submit the entirety of this assembly, Father, into your hands. Father, let your will, plan, and purpose be done. Father, I ask that you speak through me, you think through me, you allow your voice and your presence be known among your people this day, Father God. We rejoice, we honor you, and we bless you, Father, for who you are. You are truly worthy of our praise, Father. We thank you. Thank you, Father. And I just want to begin by just rejoicing in the, you know, God is a protector. He is a protector. Was leaving praise team rehearsal on Thursday. Hope you don't mind me saying this, but I got a phone call. Me and Jessica, we were pulled up. We were about to get us some Panda Express. And I had ordered and everything. And so Tara had called me and she said, Carolyn just got in a car accident on 35. And yeah, you know that feeling you get as a father. It's like, and so I told the lady, I was like, we were like right next. I said, ma'am, I can't get the food. I'm sorry. I got to go see about my daughter. She was in an accident. And so somebody had literally, That's why I say God was so good. You know, I don't know what it is, but since COVID-19 and all this other stuff, people have been driving like maniacs on the road. I don't know what it is. They think it's Fast and Furious time. I don't understand it. But anyway, she and a friend, they were exiting off of, you know how the upper and lower merge together? And that's a horrible exit. I don't know why. They need to do something about that. But when you got to get all the way over, if you're in the up and the lower, and you got to get all the way over when you go to the capital exit, capital, state capital. So anyway, as they were getting over to exit, somebody T-boned her on the side. They just, and kept going. They did not stop. And it caused the car to impact onto the side guardrail of the highway. And the airbags deployed and everything, they walked away unscathed. The vehicle is another story. But vehicles are replaceable. You can't replace a child. So I was grateful to God for that. And the devil is crazy, man. He knows that there's destiny, there is purpose in our children. Not my children only, but your children. And he hates them. He doesn't like the fact that they have a destiny. But guess what? It can't be stopped. Brother Steve said it so eloquently. When you train them up, they know how to speak the word in a situation and change it. Now, I'm going to tell you what. I preface that with saying, if you go in her room right now, this weekend, they've been recording their own music. And I'm going to tell you, I'm like, that's what he was after. He was after that purpose and that destiny that's in them. But I'm telling you, we got to be vigilant. We got to be mindful of his schemes. He has no new schemes. It's all old mess. But the bottom line, he is defeated. Amen. He is defeated. He is under our feet. And so I just wanted to just give God honor and give him honor and just glory for protecting my daughter. And amen. God is good. God is truly good. So I wanted to give you all, as I typically do, you know, my brothers, John, Brian, Kenneth, man, they do such an eloquent job of presenting the gospel, and it just gives you that temptation of you just want to sit down. You know, you just want to sit down and receive it because they do such an excellent job. But I am honored and just humbled for the opportunity to be able to stand before you today. It's not because of any eloquence or anything of me. But I just reverence in God. But I always like to give you all an update of just some of the things that I'm involved with. If you could start. Yeah, so Zero Gravity Outreach. We really haven't had a lot of opportunities to go out and do stuff this year because obviously a lot of events have been either canceled. This was a big month that we were supposed to do a whole bunch of events on the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And I was going to go toward the end of the month because that's when the culmination of a lot of the big events were going to take place. But those events got scrapped. But in the meantime, this has been an incredible month for the ministry. That right there is the backside of the lander where the guys, when they launch off the ramps, that's where they come off of. Somebody donated that inflation. I don't know what it's called, but it's some kind of inflation thing that protects them that if they would actually go or hit it, that thing is so padded. But somebody blessed us with that, like literally put the logo, the website, all that around the entire, you can go to the next picture. So it's all around the thing. And it's just, I mean, just donated that to us, just blessed us with that. Now go to the next one. Now, as you can see, that's the 18-wheeler, that's the front part of the lander. And then all of our equipment, they just converted the backside of that trailer, which is huge, which God blessed us with that, to a stage. So literally when I get with them, I'm going to be standing on top of that thing. They converted it into a stage. And so, yeah, so y'all pray for me because I'm going to have motorcycles really close to my head. But that's our truck. We call the truck Gabriel because it's a messenger. Good news. And so we call it Gabriel, and that's the before picture. Now, go to the next picture. That's the after. They just wrapped it with camouflage because we got a mission operation that we have to be engaged in of reaching people for the kingdom. And so
That was done before they hit the road. They left last week to head up to Michigan and do a few of the shows that were still going on. So I should have been in Michigan, y'all, but by the grace of God, I'm here, and I know it's for a reason. Go to the next slide. Now, last weekend, my group that I'm a part of, Second Journey, we shot a video for our next single, which is coming out this week. So be looking out for it on iTunes, all that good stuff. But as you can see, Carolyn, yeah, that's Carolyn. Carolyn is there helping direct the video. So you can go to the next slide. There she is filming it. So, yeah, so that was an awesome time. And so, yeah, definitely go to the next one. So that's our single coming out this week. I'm Free. I believe this song is going to minister to a lot of people. If you get enough people walking around saying I'm free, guess what's going to happen? People going to get set free. So it's all strategic. So I'm excited about it. Just God is just doing some incredible things. And I'm just excited about his purpose and his plan for this season. Amen. Thank you. Thank you all for sharing that. Today I want to talk about good news never gets old. Good news never gets old. You know, in the body of Christ, we have a way, sadly, of complicating things. We put a lot of barriers that can sometimes make the unbeliever or the person that desires to be born again be like, if I got to go through all of that, is it even worth it? And we look like we're struggling in the process to be a Christian. And it like I said, it literally becomes an impedance on people receiving the life that Christ has. But how many of you know that when Christ Jesus walked the earth, he wasn't complicated? His message wasn't complicated. In fact, his message was taken that he would use parables. He would use things that the people could relate to because he wanted them to understand. So it's really sad that a lot of times we complicate things and we make it difficult for people to clearly see who he is. And I don't think that's his heart. I think he wants it. He said that the pathway to righteousness is a straight path. It's not crooked and wavy and I got to get over this hump and I got to get over this. It's straight. So you can clearly know the direction that he desires for us to walk in. And like I said, I don't think that the message and the plan that God has is complicated. And likewise, because he didn't complicate it, we shouldn't complicate it. Romans 1:16 is where we're going to be planted today. And we're going to break this down. We're going to look at it. And I love this verse. It speaks volumes. There's so much the whole book of Romans. I mean, if you want to stay parked in a book full of revelation and truth about what applies to us as believers, you could stay camped in Romans, I believe, for at least 3 to 5 years and get something out of it, because it's such a meaty book of truth and revelation from the heart of God to the Apostle Paul. But like I said, I want us to stay look at this particular passage, Romans 1:16, very familiar passage, and you'll probably just put your thumb there because we're going to go several other places as we break it down. But in this passage, which is very familiar to us, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." There's so much compacted in that one statement. Now, let's start with the very beginning. As we know, our founding pastor always taught us, when we read the word, what are the things we look for? Who's speaking? Who are they speaking to? What provoked them to say it? And how does it apply to me? So we're going to look at it. We're going to examine what Paul. So let's start with the very first word that he says in here. He says, "I am not ashamed." I am not ashamed. Now look at this. This is coming from the man, y'all, who persecuted the early church. This is coming from the man when they stoned Stephen, that he approved of it. And this is coming from the man who the people, when that happened, threw their robes at his feet in approval. This is the man who got knocked off of his high horse on the way to Damascus when the Lord Jesus said, "Saul, Saul, why is thou persecuting me?" And this is the man who allowed the revelation of who Christ Jesus was to change him in such a way that he took that revelation and changed the then known world. And guess what? The same truth, the same thing that the apostles, the disciples that walked with Jesus was trained in, he was trained in the same way. Jesus taught him. But look what he did with it. While they were sitting around arguing and mixing religion with what Jesus did, Paul was changing the world. Paul, he's like, y'all go ahead. And then when he got to them, they're like, I don't know what this brother's talking about, but all I know is it's the truth. It's the truth. But they could have been doing the same thing. So the thing is that I want us to understand this is the man who has such a radical change from where he was. And Paul talks about, he goes, of all of the disciples, he says, I'm the least. I'm the least. But nevertheless, he said boldly, I am not ashamed. What a conversion that you go from persecuting the church to now you're the one who's doing more than the ones that actually walked with the Savior. And so with that, we have to understand the foundation that was laid in him was so solid that it changed his whole perspective. So he goes on to say to the believers in Rome, he says, I'm not ashamed of what? The gospel. What is the gospel? See, sometimes we like I said, we want such a desire to get such heavy revelation that we just forget about the foundation. But the revelation don't mean nothing if we don't have a full understanding of the foundation. And he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because the gospel is the declaration of the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Christ Jesus. That's the essence of what the gospel message is about. And guess what? In everything we do, in everything that we're a part of as believers, we have to stay founded on that truth, because that's the truth. I'm not going to get ahead of myself, but that's the truth ultimately that will change someone's eternal direction, is when we have a full understanding of what we call the gospel or the good news. Now let's look real quick, if you could go to Luke chapter 4, and we're going to look at this very familiar passage, Luke chapter 4. We're going to start at verse 16, and we're going to go to verse 22. So Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 22. I think Brother John said it a few weeks ago, that nothing in God should ever be like, oh, I heard that. If those words get uttered by us, we're in trouble because we can never graduate. As long as we're on this side, we can never graduate from the truth and the perspectives of the kingdom. Luke chapter 4, verse 16, let's start there. He says, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, as was his custom. He entered the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened it and found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and he has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable and acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, gave it to the attendant, sat down, and the eyes of all of those in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began saying to them, Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And all who were speaking well of him and wondering at the gracious words which were falling from his lips were saying, is this not Joseph's son? Now, I want us to look at this. This is Jesus coming out of being tempted from the devil. And coming out of this, the Bible says that he came out in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he's proclaiming to these people. He's going now. I found it interesting. It says he goes into the synagogue, which is his custom. But the rest of his custom is taking who he was to the people that needed him. Let that be a lesson for us. It's good for us to get together and hear. I'm not knocking that. But I truly believe, and as my man of God said earlier today, God's desire is for to take what we have here and start disseminating it to those that really need it. What good do the well need with a physician? It's the sick that need it. So we need to be understanding that, yes, this is our custom, but our life needs to be on display out there. And that's what he did. And it says that the book, and I'll never forget when Pastor Jim taught this, it was just mind-blowing when you get a full revelation of this. So what would happen in a Jewish custom when they would get together and read the scriptures, they would go through the scriptures throughout the entire year, okay? And so Jesus gets up and they hand him, well, we know they didn't have chapters and verses back then. We messed that up. But they handed him the portion of the scripture, which for us is chapter 61 of Isaiah. And it was the specific time of the year for that passage to be read. So this is all a divine setup by God. And so they hand this to him and he reads it and he tells them, this day the scripture is fulfilled in your sight. Now he's saying all of these things about what the power of the gospel. Sick man, you don't have to be sick anymore. Poor man, you don't have to be poor anymore. He's telling them, this is what the Lord has said. This is his acceptable year. This is his approval unto you. It's being manifested and it is now. And these jokers are worried about, is this Joseph's son? This totally went over their heads. They're like trying to figure out, now how is he able to? See, don't get caught up in the vessel. Don't get caught up. When we stand up here, please don't get caught up in the vessel. Understand the message and understanding what God's heart and his desire for us as the body is to receive of what he has for us. And these people were lost sight of what was right at the door for them to walk in and receive because they were looking at the vessel and had an issue with the vessel. And they missed it, and they go on to miss it. Paul continues, once again, going back to Romans 1:16, he goes on, the gospel, it is the power of God for salvation. The power of God for salvation. It's the entryway for people to come out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. But to understand that, to understand the source of that power of the gospel to save, we got to have a full understanding of the source. And if any of us know, the source is Jesus Christ and him crucified. Got to know him. Paul, at the height of his ministry, said, I want to know him. And the power that was released in his resurrection. The man had changed the world, but he still said, I want to know him. I got to know him and what was released when he was resurrected, because he understood that that was what would change people. That's what would change the world. And you never get to a point where you don't desire it. You don't want more, because if I know it more, I'm able to give it out. Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20. Let's go there real quick. For it is the power of God for salvation. We got to understand the power source. Matthew 16, verse 13. Man, I was listening to Commission the other day, John. And listening to that song, Who Do Men Say I Am? Oh, about the chills just went all over me. Matthew 16, verse 13. It says, now Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi. Almost want to speak in tongues there. And he was asking his disciples, who do men say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, but still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth, it shall be even bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall even be loosed in heaven. And then he warned the disciples that they should tell no one that he was the Christ. Jesus is still asking that question to me and you today. Who do you say I am in your life? Who do you say I am when the threats come? Who do you say I am when fear tries to rob you? Who do you say I am when you're faced with a situation that you know you can't fix on your own? And when we acknowledge, see, the Apostle Peter, he didn't realize what he was tapping into when he said, "Thou art the Christ." Jesus said, "Man, the flesh and blood that's on your body did not reveal that to you." He had to let him not, don't get it twisted. Don't get the big head to think that you came up with something eloquent. That came from the source that I'm plugged into. And you done tapped into it, and now you speak in revelation. And guess what, Mr. Peter? Because of the revelation that you declared, that's where I'm building my church, on that foundation that I am the Christ. And that church family, that's the source of the power that saves people, that gets people into the kingdom. The gates of, that's why my daughter could walk away from a car wreck and it not bother her, because she's built on that foundation. That's why me and you, whatever situation the enemy may have arrayed against us, it will not succeed because of the foundation that we're founded on. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And it goes on, and he says, not only that, but I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. I'm giving you the authority to speak to a thing, and it changed not because of you, but because of the foundation that you are laid upon. And he warns his disciples. And this scripture blew my mind when it said he warned his disciples that he should tell no one that he was the Christ. And he said, why would he tell them not to tell them? Well, you got to understand the hearts of the people. If you look in Matthew, there's a passage where it starts talking about how he fed the 5,000 specifically. And it says that they wanted to make him king. But not king because of who he was as the Lord. They wanted to make him king because, "There, Jesus, you're going to deal with them Romans. So we're going to make you king." He says he left that place because their hearts were not understanding the purpose of why he even came and why he even did what he did. So he had to withdraw from them. And he tells his disciples, don't tell them, because of the simple fact, these people want to make me king, but they don't understand I'm not king to do, you know what I'm saying, worldly stuff. I'm not king to do what they think in their mind. I'm not Saul from back in the day, and I'm not one of them. I have a higher purpose. Yes, at one time, when it is all said and done, the kingdoms of the earth shall be the kingdoms of our God. We understand that, but his purpose in the earth was not to do that at that time. But the people didn't understand that. And so he tells his disciples, don't tell them. Going on through the verse 16 in Romans chapter 1, to everyone who believes, and this is where my heart starts getting really heavy, because it says, to everyone who believes, the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, I preface back to the very first story that we read in the gospel where it said Jesus went to his people and told them, this day the scripture is fulfilled, and they missed it. But we see throughout the gospel, they continue to miss it. The religious leaders having total straight up beef with the things that he was declaring and plotting. We got to kill him. This man has come to set you free first. He came to set you free before anyone else, and you're plotting to kill him, to destroy him. And you hear the heart of Jesus when he starts crying over the cities right before he is getting ready to go into Jerusalem to be crucified. He says, oh, how the Father, how he would have longed, like a hen does with her chicks, to just hold you. But yet still, you've decided that you want to come against the plan of God. He came to bring salvation to them first, and they rejected it. You know, I find it irony that they placed on his cross, "This is the King of the Jews." And they was mad when Pilate wanted to put that. They said, no, I say that he said that he was the King of the Jews. But Pilate put it anyway. He didn't care what they said. But if they would have understood the power that was in that statement and would have yielded. See, I think in their minds, he wasn't what they thought. Once again, he said, they're trying to make me king. when he didn't come the way they thought he was going to come, no, we got to get this dude out of here. But they didn't realize what he was doing, and the power that was going to be released, not only in his death, but in his resurrection. But it, like I said, it says that salvation to everyone who believes, it came to the Jew first. It was knocking on their door. But by the grace of God, it goes on to say, and also to the Greek, to the Gentile, me and you. He didn't come just for them. They rejected, but he didn't say, well, they didn't want to receive it, so that's just it. I'm just going to hold it. No, he said, whosoever will. I think about the lady that came to him and said, Master, please, my daughter. And he said, daughter, the bread is not fit for the dogs. And she said, yeah, but the dog's okay even with the crumbs that fall on the ground. And Jesus, this was before the cross. And he said, because of your faith, you got what you need, daughter. She wasn't a Jew, but she had faith in the promise. And the promise that she had faith in set her free and set her daughter free. I'm thankful. And praise God, the day is going to come where some of those Jews that were the first, they're going to come. Their eyes are going to be open. They're going to see the reality of the Messiah, the Christ. They're going to understand it. But thank God he didn't close the door. Thank God he opened it up for you and I that we could come in, that we could be the adopted children. And we have the opportunity to shout, Abba, Father, because of what he did on our behalf. He didn't close the door. That's why I say thank God for the Apostle Paul that got the revelation to say, I'm not just taking it to the Jews. I'm taking it to those who don't know the truth outside of the household of faith. And they could come in and cry, Abba, Father. But Jesus had already addressed the heart issue of the Jews. He had already addressed it. He said, what did he say in Mark 7:13? He said, your traditions have made the word of God of none effect. And that's the thing, church family, we got to be mindful. We can't let our traditions, we can't let our way of thinking how to get to God be an impedance of what God wants to do. My brother said something eloquent, and I shared it with him, what I heard from another guy. And it, man, hear what I'm saying and hear my heart. I'm not knocking anything. I'm not putting anything down. But a lot of times a friend of mine said this, and I never let that statement go because I was like, God, let our worship and let everything we do be out of sincerity. But he said this. He said, many people like the worship experience of God rather than worship of God. We like the experience of worshiping, but do we worship the Father for who he is? And that's why I'm like, Lord, let our heart be to seek after you, not the ways of doing things, but your way. And if we're doing it his way, it's going to be right. It's going to be perfect. But as of all things, we want his heart, because that heart was the heart that said, not to only to the Jews, but guess what? I've opened it up to anyone that would receive it. That came from the heart of the Father. The ultimate truth of what, and I think someone said this earlier, the gospel, it's not about you and me. That's literally what, if you don't remember anything else I say today, that's the reality of it. The gospel is not about you and me. Now, we are in the promise of the gospel because he made it unto us. But at the end of the day, when we stand before people, we stand with bare hands because we have nothing to offer. What Peter and John, silver and gold, we don't have, all we have to give you, this is what we got. In the name of Jesus, that's all I have to offer anyone is him. Because me, you ain't going to get very much. You probably get some lint, but you're not going to get the fullness. And having that heart of wanting to be emptied out. You know, we sing that song, I want to be emptied out, poured out. That's the heart that we have, that the gospel needs to point always to him and what he did for us. The foundation of the gospel is, was, and will always be Jesus and what he did. It begins with him. It continues with him. He's in the center of it. And ultimately, it will end with him. Because the Bible even says that the earth won't even end until this gospel of the kingdom is preached in all the world as a testimony. it won't even end. So that lets me know we got work to do, church. That's why the gospel has to be so implanted in our hearts so that when people see us, they see our Redeemer. He himself said that when we lift him up, when we purpose to lift him up, what would he do? He would draw all men. So we don't want to lift ourselves up. We don't want to lift our agenda up. We don't want to lift our plan up. We want to lift up the gospel. We want to lift up Christ Jesus and the message of what he did for us. And that, by doing that, it said that he will draw all men. So why is this important? Why is this important? Why are we saying about the importance of understanding and never losing sight of the utmost importance that's expressed in the gospel? It's because he placed the burden not on us, but on himself to pay for something that you and I could never pay for. The cost of sin and death, he took it upon himself so that if the gospel gets out to the masses, it's him, it's his foundation that we are laid upon. It's not our message, it's not our truth, and it's definitely not the sacrifice that we made, it's the sacrifice that he made. If the gospel gets old to the believer, then I believe we need to definitely do some self-inventory. We need to look within ourselves and say, God, whatever in me that is not receiving of the fullness of who you are, let's deal with that. Like Pastor said earlier, it's important for us to take those things and self-inventory what the Lord wants to do so that our heart is changed so that we have a full understanding of Christ and expressing his goodness in the earth. Because if it gets old to us, how can we expect the unbeliever to be born again? If it gets old gravy, old news to us, we got to understand, church family, it's a message that will never get old, and it will never lose its power, as the word that we say in the song, it will never lose its power. Let's look at, and I'm getting ready to close, so I'm going to keep y'all on. In the same chapter, Romans 1, let's look at that very next verse, 17. He says, he goes on and he says, for in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. How do we grow in him? How do we grow in him? From faith to faith, from glory to glory. We build here a little, we build there a little. We build upon the faith that he gave to us. You know, the scripture says that to every man he is given the measure of faith. But it's up to us what we build on. Got me, I'm standing here, but then you got Lou Ferrigno and Arnold Schwarzenegger. They got muscles. We all got muscles. They did a little more than what I've done. But that's not to say it's not available for me to have what they had. They just worked what they had. You know, there's something that I always shared. I shared, we have our devotional call with the ministry, Zero Gravity Outreach, and I shared something, and the guys have got an understanding of that, and it's something that continually comes up, and it's something that Pastor Jim taught us. And I'll just share it with you today. The message, the mission, should you choose to accept it, as they say in Mission Impossible, is to know God and to make him known. We should never tire of that. We should never get to a point where we say, oh, I know it all, because guess what? That's the minute God says, boy, let me push this boat out just a little more and let you see how deep the water is, because we can never graduate from all that he has in store. As John said, reminded us in the scripture, it says that if the world could contain all the things that Jesus did, there wouldn't be enough volumes of books in the world to contain it. But it's all about the faith that we have and what we do with that faith. Yes, we want to grow. There's nothing wrong with growing. There's nothing wrong with growing deeper in God. We want that of all things. You know, the word of God says that we have a more sure word of prophecy right here. It is written. So we should never grow tired of expanding and getting into the word and understanding our place in redemption. But we got to work it. Billy Graham said this, and I wrote this quote down, and it just blessed me. He said, the message that I preach hasn't changed. Circumstances have changed. Problems have changed. But deep inside, man has not changed, and the gospel hasn't changed. The gospel hasn't changed. And because of that, that, once again, as Paul said, is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. I know we know these things, and I know we are strong in this body, but I don't want us ever lose sight of the fact that what do we do with those who come into the front door who've never heard these things? I remember, and I think I've shared this before, I remember when I was at UT and we were growing in the things of God, and I was ministering to a guy one day and just started sharing a bunch of scriptures to him, and the guy was looking at me like I was speaking another language. And guess what? It was another language. Because he wasn't born again. His eyes were not open to see. So God said, you need to tell him what I did for you, and you need to tell him what I did for him. And when I did that, it was like light came into his eyes. Oh, I can see that. I can understand that. That's the power of the gospel. When we share what Christ did, and when people can put faith in that, then we got a foundation to build on. But we can't put the roof on if we don't have a foundation. So we can never get tired of understanding that's going to be the doorway that gets people into the kingdom. Yes, we want them to grow. Yes, we want them to grow deeper and go deeper. But if they haven't got to the front door, it's going to be hard for them to get to the living room. The message, to know him, to make him known, it's all about the gospel, church family, and we can never allow it to get old. We can never allow it to get stale, because in it, like I said, get in Romans. I would encourage you, if last few months or so, just stay parked and just when you have a moment, especially that 8th chapter. God, Romans is so full of just so much revelation, but Paul wanted people to understand the importance of what salvation was. Because ultimately, if we don't know what it means, it's not going to mean very much to them that are outside. They're just going to say that sinner's prayer, but they're not going to know what it means. You know, when you confess with your mouth and believe the Lord Jesus and that God raised him from the dead, you know that not only applies to you escaping eternity, but that can handle everything, because you understand confessing him and his lordship. And so he can deal with all the other stuff, because I understand, God, you're the captain of this ship. I'll sit in the back and let you handle the storm. And because I know if I do that, you're going to take care of it. You've got it. So, praise God, that's all I have. I would just encourage us, let's continue to allow the truth of God's word to become so real in us that it never becomes like leftovers or stale bread or something we put away, but have that heart and that desire to say, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me. Pray when you get in the word of God, and allow that word to become so real in you that you become the manifestation of the revelation that's on the inside. That's the desire that God has for you, for me, and for our church. And as Pastor said, the day is coming very soon that the truth and the revelation and Aunt Gail's prophecy, the truth that has been implanted in us, is not for us to just sit around and sing campfire songs about the goodness of God. It's for us to share with those and be the life-changing agents that the world needs. But it can only come when we fall deeply and hopelessly in love with the truth of the gospel and never allow it to get old. Amen? Yeah. Pastor.
As long as there's one unsaved person in the world, the gospel is good news. It's needed. It's never old. Excellent word, brother. Thank you. Thank you. We want to be a blessing for Brother Damon. He delivered the word to us this morning. God said that the workman is worthy of his hire, so we're going to bless him with some financial blessings. The bucket right here. Sow into and make a investment into what you heard today. And then when the fruit starts coming up out of that, then change some lives. Change some lives with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the word that we've heard today. We thank you for your spirit, your anointing that is here. Father, we thank you for this time that we have gathered as a family, as your family. And Father, we just speak that the words that have gone forth from this pulpit this morning have fallen on good ground and that it produces much fruit in our lives, Father. We open ourselves to you and we decree and declare that you are our Lord. And we submit all that we are to your Lordship. And we thank you, Father, that you continually lead our lives and you guide us by your Holy Spirit into all truth, into triumph, and into victory. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. Well, stand with me. Seems like the last several weeks, including Mac, we've had some marathon services. But it's just barely after 12. If we leave right now, we'll beat the Baptist to this. Are the restaurants? Yeah, the restaurants. Some of them are open. Yeah. I don't know if the Baptist goes to those restaurants. So, anyway, I call you blessed. I say that the Lord has blessed you with his life, his very life, living inside you, and that he leads you and guides you continually in truth, triumph, and victory, and that you are his representative in the earth, and no weapon formed against you prospers, but every tongue that condemns or tries to malign or bring charges against you, they are dropped. They are false, because God is your source. God is your life. You are a son and a child of the Most High God. And everything you put your hand to is prosperous and successful. And as you represent God, as you present the gospel, the Holy Spirit flows through you to convict hearts and bring new people into the kingdom of God. You are blessed to know God and to make God known. And whom the Lord has blessed, none can curse. Enjoy your rest of your Sunday and share the good news with someone. Keep your heart open and share the good news with someone. Amen? Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you for coming.